Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and what a day today. It's January the 11th, 2011. 1-1-1-1-1. My goodness, how often is that going to happen? Not very often. This is a dynamic afternoon because we're going to be talking about a subject that many people will get what the Hawaiians call chicken skin over because they think it's a little woo-woo unless they've had personal experiences of their own. I have had them, and my two guests that we have on today, Maureen McGill and Nola Davis, they too have had their own experiences. Their book is all about this, and it's titled Live from the Other Side, Connecting with the Other Side and Demystifying Death and Afterlife Experiences. Maureen and Nola, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Now, both of you ladies are involved in the psychic area, the metaphysical area, and you've especially been involved with grief. Now, Maureen, I know you're located here in the Pacific Northwest. Maureen, you've been involved with this for a long time. Tell us, and then Nola, I'm going to want you to tell your story. What got you interested in exploring what would be considered paranormal by many people?
Well, I've always been interested in the intuitive arts, and I taught a course at Pacific Lutheran University called Healing Arts of Mind and Body. And I've always believed that the awareness extends beyond the body. And in the last 10 years, I found a tool. And actually, you were part of that inspiration for the tool. Because about 15 years ago, you told me in a reading, Maureen, it would be really good if you tried a tool. And so I found a tool, and that was the tarot cards. And it just took off for me. So while I was doing these tarot cards, there were so many people that were coming to me, Donna, with stories that they wanted to share about messages that they received from their loved ones on the other side. And that's kind of where the journey began for me.
Now, Nola, what about you? Excuse me. Maureen, were you finished? I didn't mean to interrupt you if you were.
Oh, I was just going to bring Nola on.
Oh, okay.
Well, for me, as a very little girl, I would see people on the other side. And I didn't understand it at all, and it was nothing that was talked about in our house. And so it actually was a gift I put on the back burner for a long time. My life took me into working in the field of senior health care, and one of the areas I was most fascinated with was hospice care. And because it allowed me to use that gift to help people, to help the families as they were moving through their loss, and to also help support my patients.
Go ahead, Nola.
And so I became very passionate about trying to create a process where what we experience as we're leaving this earth and what those of us every day experience when someone who crosses over pays us a visit, it can bring it more to the everyday mode of life and take the woo out of it.
Okay. Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You have a poem right at the beginning of your book, Nola. Say, into this world we are born, unable to speak, yet able to feel, able to sense. Within our lives we will learn to speak, but will we ever come to know? From this world we will depart, unable to speak, still able to feel, able to sense, and then we shall know. Nola, I want to ask you, you were seeing those on the other side when you were very young. My granddaughter is the same way. My daughter was the same way. And I think when you have someone who is young that has these experiences, when they can talk openly about them, it can be very comforting. if they're not able to communicate to the adults around them what they're experiencing and they have someone come at them from a fearful positioning, it can be quite unsettling. When you were experiencing the loved ones on the other side, did you hear them? Did you just see them? Because I know with some children, they'll say, well, yeah, they were talking to me. With others, they won't be talking. They'll just be aware. They'll see them. And there is something like a telepathic situation or an empathy that is demonstrated. How was it with you? How did you experience this as a child?
So I would not only see them, I could smell them.
Okay.
I could hear them. And a couple times I would hold my hand out like I was touching them.
Mm-hmm.
And feel the energy. And because I did not live in a house where it was an open environment for it to be talked about, it became my worst fear.
Why did it become your worst fear?
Because at that point in my life, the structure of my family and the familial belief system surrounding me did not support that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you felt it was something wrong then.
Something was wrong with me.
Mm-hmm. So then it was better just to be quiet, because why do you want to say anything when you're going to be put down for it? And I understand that totally. But I was just curious about you. Maureen, with you, now I know you said we exchanged information and I had told you get a tool to work with, and that's what you did, and it opened up the world for you. How do you recall one of your earliest experiences?
How do I recall one of my earliest experiences? Well, I'll tell you, one of the most recent experiences that I've had, I don't know if I can really recall the earliest one, but the most recent one, and I didn't include this in the book, but I truly believe that our loved ones sometimes communicate with us in ways that they communicated with us here on Earth, in other words, after they leave. And I will give the example of hearing my dad's voice. I was close to my dad, and my dad was a salesman, and he traveled a huge territory in the Midwest, many, many miles, and got a new car every 2 years. So his car was very important to him. So he was always making sure that when I drove, everything was right of the car, the oil was changed, blah, blah, blah. Well, just about 5 years ago, and maybe it was about 7 years ago, I had an experience where I was driving in my car along the waterfront here in the Northwest. And in front of me was another vehicle, an SUV, filled with lovely teenagers, teenage girls. And along the waterfront were a group of Army fellows that were working out. And they were running and running and, you know, looking very athletic. And I thought to myself, I hope those girls don't get distracted when they're driving. And at that moment, I heard my dad's voice. He said, pump your brakes, pump your brakes. Well, as you know, we don't have those kind of breaks now, but I heard my dad's voice as clear as a whistle, and I thought, wow, he is with me, you know, he is protecting me. And yeah, I did have a little bit of an impact as they slammed their brakes on, but it was nothing like I would have had I not mm-hmm. been warned. Mm-hmm. So that was one experience that's been recent. I really can't recall, like, the very first experience that I've had.
You have a story in your book, and your book is filled with stories that both of you have combined together to make people, not make people, but help people become aware of the fact that we live in multiple energy frequencies, and we at this moment are occupying a physical vehicle that allows us to do what we want it to do. Right now we're talking and we're communicating and a lot of people are listening. So when someone makes a transition, they let go of this chassis, as a very good friend of mine used to describe it, and they move on to a different frequency level, but it doesn't mean that they can't communicate. It just does mean that they perhaps have to learn how to bring that communication capacity into fruition, just like you described with your father. And I know I've had a number of experiences of my own. I've listened literally to thousands of stories through the years as a counselor and as a media personality, and it always fascinates me. It always fascinates me because it's such a personal experience. Now, you have a story in here that I thought was very interesting, and I related to it because I have had more than one client through the years due to their cultural environment that had visitations from people after they had passed over, and they had not followed their instructions. And your story in the book, Bury Me Right, I thought was just quite significant. Who wants to talk about that one?
Well, I will, because I was the one that got the message.
Okay, go for it.
So this is the story of a woman who was an Arapaho Indian who moved away from her reservation when she was young and came to the Northwest, became a nurse, and raised five children. And one of her daughters in particular came to work for me, and I knew quite well. Her mother developed pancreatic cancer and died fairly rapidly over a period of 30 days. But unbeknownst to me, I was at home sitting in the living room when I heard this voice just out of nowhere very clearly say, "Bury me right. Bury me right." And I had only met Kathy's mother once in my entire life. So I couldn't even tell you what her voice sounded like if I were to try to remember it today.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw this dusty ground with these yellow roses laying on it, and just bury me right, bury me right. And I sat there, and it's like, man, where is this coming from? Who is this? You know, what am I supposed to do with this message? And then I, you know, it was like, don't worry about it. It'll come to you. So after her mother passed, I was visiting with her, and visiting with her daughter that I knew. And she was being pulled in two directions because her mother had specifically said she did not want to be buried on the reservation. And the elder brothers had made the decision their sister would be buried on the reservation. And I said to Kathy, I said, you know, Kathy, your mother, now I know who this is. I said, your mother said, and her mother was comatose at the time that I got this message. Mm-hmm. Your mother explicitly said, bury me right. So what does that mean to you? And she goes, well, we wouldn't bury her on the reservation, but we don't have a choice. And I said, well, I said, you know, she was very emphatic about this. So a few months later, they had the service on the reservation. And they have this tradition of these stones, and they had completed that when the wind whipped up. It blew dust everywhere, and placed on the grave that day were yellow roses.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathy knew at that moment when that dust came up and the way it was that, you know, it was her mother reaffirming that she truly wanted to be buried right.
Mm-hmm. These stories are very, very significant to people, obviously, when they personally experience them, as it was to you when you were going through this. But the visitation from Edith, who was the mother, didn't stop with that one experience with the family.
No.
Tell us what happened afterwards.
Well, so the girls had actually kept out some of the ashes because one of their mother's favorite places was she loved the beach. She loved the ocean. And so they had a girls' weekend and went down to the ocean. And one of the girls was getting ready in the morning, and she looked in the mirror, and she saw her mother's face looking back at her. And she went out, and she told her sisters, you know, my mother, you know, I looked in the mirror, and there was my mother's face. I saw my mother's face. And they actually completed their tradition because they took those ashes and they placed them in the ocean that day where mm-hmm. she wanted her ashes put in the first place.
Mm-hmm. It's really quite interesting how things will be resolved. And I had a Japanese client who had a sister that she had given specific instructions that she wanted to be buried in Japan in a traditional ceremony. And she wanted to be cremated and follow the traditions of her culture. And her husband, who was an American, was just in such grief when she passed that he just wasn't even going to agree to that. And she, the sister, kept getting the visitation that she needed to be buried properly over and over and over again. So we tried to work that out in some way because it was important. I think it was North or South Carolina where this Japanese lady and her husband had lived for many years. But it is fascinating how these things will occur, and people will say, it's just your imagination. It is not your imagination. That communication is very, very clear. Maureen, you have a story in here about Jim's dreams. Who was Jim, and why was this so significant to you when you found out about it?
Well, Jim was an acupuncturist. That's his practice in his life here. And he's since left the Northwest, and he's practicing now at a hospital in the Midwest. But he was a friend of mine, and he actually came to me with this story. And it's a fascinating story because in the story, his dad visits him in the story, and then it also goes on to a sister who then recently passed after his father, and his sister visited him as well.
With Jim in this experience, the thing was when his sister visited him, and this was a dream experience, he was talking to his sister on the telephone saying, I thought you were dead, and that's why we got rid of everything. And she said, oh, no, I've just been in a coma. The doctor didn't want to get everybody's hopes up, so they told you I was dead. And he awakened from this dream, and she had passed on. But he really was very comforted by this communication he had with her. And, you know, it was quite interesting.
And also, he didn't have a chance to say goodbye to her when she died. She died of an aneurysm, actually, and so she died very suddenly. And this was really a chance for them to reconnect in the dream world for him to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And she also was confused. He felt that she wasn't really ready to die yet, and he said that she did seem confused in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was going to continue to hold her in the light to tell her that it was okay to move forward. But
excuse me, go ahead.
It was just quite beautiful how they connected in the dream, you know, and that they were able to reconnect at the chance that they had that they hadn't before she died. She died quite young.
Nola, you had a patient, actually she was a resident of a nursing home, and you really liked this lady. And, of course, you are working in a nursing home, there is that awareness that so many of these people are not going to be around. So often, instead of being depressed by this, I find that those people that are interested in hospice work or working with the elderly really like to enjoy the small things with the people. Lots of times, these individuals, maybe they don't have their sight, maybe their physical functions are not doing very well. Sometimes a lot of them are in pain. But it's the little things that make such a difference. And this woman's story, I thought, was so touching because Madeline was a woman of habit, wasn't she? There were certain little routines that she just loved to do. What were those routines, and why was she so significant to you?
So she was in one of my first buildings when I relocated to Tacoma and actually was one of the first people that I had an experience with that really grounded me in what I knew about situations. And when she moved into the building, she knew no one. And there was just something about her. She had this lovely twinkle she would get in her eye. She was Yugoslavian. And family and being able to do for others was very important to her. And when she first came, she was a little saddened because she couldn't do anything for people. And I would always take the time to go in and sit down and meet with them and talk with them and find out about them and get them to share with me part of their lives and what was important to them. So we took up this tradition of every Friday afternoon, her daughter would make cookies and bring cookies, and I would bring down the coffee, and she would have her cookies and coffee, and I'd have coffee, and we would visit. And it happened every Friday until I was transferred out of the building. And still I would stop by and see her. And then, of course, one day I got a call that she wasn't doing well from her daughter, and her daughter was beside herself because she, her mother had been given her last rites, and she would not move forward. And Kay called me upset, concerned, and wanted to make sure I had the opportunity to come say goodbye. And so it was, the story goes on that in coming to say goodbye and sitting down beside her, and she was nonverbal at this point, and I put my left hand on her left arm and just asked her what it was that was holding her back. And that's when I got, it was Friday when I looked at the calendar, and it was time for tea.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, I had the staff go get coffee. I told her what we were doing. And once we were done with our coffee, I told her we were done. And then I went back and placed my hand again on her arm to see if there was anything else. And the only thing I got was just how devoted of a Catholic she was and the Lord's Prayer. And so we, all of us in the room, recited the Lord's Prayer together, and by the time we got to the very end was as she drew her last breath.
You know, I think of this, and having been at the bedside of individuals who were close to death a few times in my life, when I think of what you did, that was so very, very significant and so special. And I think that it conveys a whole different kind of message that enables someone who is wanting to pass on, just giving them that comfortable way of saying goodbye. And I think it was just a very, very special and very touching story. Maureen, you have a story in here about a woman by the name of April, and she was in her 80s when she told you a story about her personal life and about her husband who had died very early in their marriage of a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma disease. And it was really, really hard on her. But then something very special happened because she got remarried, found herself pregnant. And what occurred?
Well, actually, as the story goes, I don't think she remarried, but she did fall in love, and she got pregnant, and she felt kind of badly about being pregnant because she wasn't married, and she had already had been married with her husband, and she wouldn't have her husband's permission, and she was worried that she wouldn't have her first husband's permission to have this baby, and she was really confused. And then he came to her in a dream, and he held this bundle of love to her and showed her this beautiful pink bundle of love, and that became her daughter. And it was like a blessing that he gave to her to have this baby, and she just was so blessed, felt so blessed that she could have this baby.
Well, so imagine how soothing that would have been to her because of all of her fears. What a wonderful story. She was in her 80s when she told you this.
Unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable. And she hadn't told anyone that story ever.
Mm-hmm.
We found that many of the stories that we collected in our book, which, by the way, is available on Amazon and Kindle, but we found that many people had not told their stories before and that the stories came to them through their senses, whether they heard their loved ones or they felt their touch or they smelled them or they saw them, or even electronics were the way that they communicated with their loved ones.
Mm-hmm. And that is something that I think is sort of tough for people sometimes to accept, because many times they think it's going to be a real melodramatic experience. And often it's a very subtle one. And dreams are a wonderful way for people to communicate that have passed on. But sometimes there is a fragrance that can fill a room. There are things that'll move that you'll go, that's interesting. That picture is constantly moved. I wonder why. And it may be someone trying to communicate. Or you'll be aware of thinking of something and you just feel like you've been wrapped in energy. And people will describe it as chills, or sometimes it's actually a feeling of warmth. There's just an awareness. And I think the biggest key is for someone to make it okay to have the experience. It's not going to happen every single day, but when it does, it's going to be their experience. How do you feel about that?
You know what? I think if people just set their intention to have that message from their loved one and to pay attention and to be in the now, and just like you said, don't expect a huge melodramatic event to take place, but just something simple, a simple way that they communicated with you. Maybe it was through the radio. Maybe it was your favorite song or the television show. And the television will come on. There's no doubt that they will communicate.
Mm-hmm. Nola, how do you feel about that?
I agree with what Maureen has said. I also think that when you have someone that's on the other side that you want to communicate with, being aware of how you send your communication out, that if you are saying they're deceased, they're gone, I'm never going to see them again, I'll never have a chance to tell them how much I loved them, I never, that it's almost like dialing the phone and then hanging up before someone answers.
Mm-hmm.
And that to set your intention around your desire to know that the person that you love can be reached through just the simple setting of your intention, and do not set any limits as to how that experience needs to happen or when.
You have some beautiful stories in your book, Live from the Other Side. There's one, The Awakening, about a man, Paul, who had lost someone and found that eagles came to him as a symbol, and with someone that understood what those eagles meant in symbology, shared it with him, and he realized that he was being communicated with via animals. And there are, again, so many different ways that we can be comforted, that we can be made aware. Now, you mentioned that your book is on Kindle and that you are on Amazon.com and people can order it. You've got your website, Live from the Other Side. I think it's great that the two of you teamed up together. Both of you come from different paradigms, and yet you have shared your stories. You have a love story in here. You have all kinds of wonderful tales to tell from different people. And more than that, I think that it's enabled you to give something to people that takes a lot of the fear away, and I think that that's marvelous. If you would have a message that you would want to leave with the audience today, what would it be? Maureen, you go first.
I think just to know that the universal thread of love, you know, connects us all, and it's that universal thread of love that is what life is about and what death is about as well.
Nola?
Love is absolutely divine. It has no beginning. It has no ending. And no matter what distance we perceive or feel becomes between us and another individual, the clarity and the clearness of that love shines bright wherever we are.
Live from the Other Side, Maureen McGill and Nola Davis. Check out their website with the exact same title as the book, livefromtheotherside.com. Well, ladies, I wish you the best in your work. Continue to write your stories, and I look forward to the next one when you have a chance to put it together. Maureen McGill and Nola Davis have been my guests. Do check it out, livefromtheotherside.com. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. More good things to share. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And I wanted to share with you right off the bat a wonderful poem by the name, by a writer, Emily Potter. It has the most gorgeous photograph of, I believe it has to be, a mountain ridge of some kind in Yosemite. It looks so familiar to me, and it's just absolutely breathtakingly beautiful because it's loaded with snow and the trees are covered with crystals of ice, and it's just breathtakingly beautiful. In her poem, it states, "Where the mountaintops kiss the stars and the air sparkles crisp and clear, where pine trees dance in the wind and small creatures play, this is the happy side of winter." Boy, we're really getting it this year, aren't we? I've got friends on the East Coast, and they're all snug and warm. But, wow, Mother Nature really has been doing a number on us this year. So it doesn't happen very often, but, boy, when it does, it makes you perk up and become aware. Okay, telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and chat with me today, give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. You know, with weather like this, so often one of my most favorite dishes to have is soup. I really like soup. Well, how does a spicy sausage and bean soup sound? A little bit of chili powder, cumin. Ah, yes. If you're feeling cold, it'll just do wonderful things for you. So I thought I'd share that recipe with you. So get a pad of paper handy, and I will be giving out that in a little bit. Also, I wanted to let you know who's coming on tomorrow. The Great Penguin Rescue by Diane DiNapoli. Now, this is a woman that was off of the coast of South Africa, and she, along with thousands of other people, rescued 40,000 penguins. This is an incredible story. I was absolutely thrilled to be able to get her on the show, and I hope that you will be able to join me tomorrow because it is absolutely amazing. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Elizabeth Cooper. If you're on a budget, you're going to enjoy talking about or listening to us talk about dining with Dollar, a dollar, by and using a diva cookbook. That's right. She's considered the dollar diva. The dollar store bought up, I think it's 25,000 units of her book to sell in their stores. This woman is more fun, so we're going to have a good time talking food on Thursday. And then Barbara Jo is going to be with us on Friday. This is a woman in her 70s. She's put out a book called Triumph and Hope. It has won all kinds of awards. She joined the Peace Corps in her 60s, and she's still involved with the Peace Corps. It's an amazing story. It's an example of how people, when they just make a choice in their life, they don't have to be stuck where people think they should be stuck at a certain age. It's marvelously interesting and extremely inspiring. So if any of you are getting close to the big 6-0, hey, perk up your attitudes, because let me tell you, this woman will be a perfect example of how you can start living life in a whole new direction, even when you're considered to be in senior years. So we've got a dynamic lineup this week, and I do hope that you will join us. I wanted to share a couple of stories here about synchronicity and various things that happen to people. Ouija boards, they have gotten a mixed rap for years. You know, all it is a piece of cardboard that has a bunch of letters on it, so you can spell things out, and a planchette that you work with, and it's all done by the energy of the individuals that are sitting with it. In and of itself, it's just a little piece of plastic on a piece of patterned paper. Well, during the 30s, 40s, actually even earlier than that, it was a very popular method for people to try to get in touch with their own intuitive self and to get messages. Well, there was a wealthy Connecticut woman whose name was Helen Dow Peck, and she really was into using Ouija boards. Now, in 1919, and this is all documented, the board spelled out that she should leave her entire estate to a man named John Gale Forbes. So that's what she did. She didn't have any other family, so she did that. The only problem was that she didn't know anybody by that name. In fact, when she died in 1956, her lawyer did a search throughout the world and discovered that despite what the all-knowing spirits had said, there was nobody around with that name. I would have been interested in knowing what happened to the money. Anyhow, that isn't said in this little bit of information I got. And then this one about shipwrecks is always intriguing. There are so many stories about ships and sailing experiences and the Flying Dutchman. I mean, there's just an unlimited supply of supernatural stories about the sea. Well, in 1922, the Lyman Stewart was wrecked off of the coast of Land's End, San Francisco's rockiest and most treacherous section of coastline. Now, in 1937, a ship called the Frank Buck was wrecked on the exact same rock where the Lyman Stewart had gone down. What's strange about that? Both ships were built as twin ships, side by side in the shipyard of their origin. You can still see the ruins of these shipwrecks. If you visit Land's End, it's now part of the Golden Gate National Park Conservancy, you can take the stairs that lead from the Merriway parking lot and head onto the coastal trail between Vista Point and the Palace of the Legion of Honor. When the tide's low, you can often spot the Lyman Stewart steam engine and the Frank Buck's sternpost and steam engine sticking up out of the waters off the shore. Fascinating stuff, isn't it? Life is so intriguing. It's filled with so many amazing, amazing stories. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9842. 9756. You've got that pad of paper handy and a pen? Okay. We've got spicy sausage and bean soup. Now, for this, you're going to need some Italian sausage and a few other things. But a lot of this you will already have around the house. And it is going to be absolutely wonderful. And I'll tell you something else. If you're in a hurry and you want to fix this and put it in your crock pot, this is a great crock pot recipe, depending on what you like to do. But if you're going to be gone all day and you don't want to have to worry about having something on the stove, then use your crock pot. What you're going to need is a tablespoon of oil, You're going to need a half a pound of sweet Italian sausage links, a half a pound of sweet Italian sausage links. I'm more in favor of the spicy. I really like the spicy stuff. So whatever your taste buds dictate, try it out. An onion, you want to chop it finely, and it'll be about a cup of freshly chopped onion. One red pepper, you want to chop that up too. That'll come to about a cup of red pepper. Two carrots, you want to have them lengthwise, and then you want to cut them in quarter-inch thick slices. And then you're going to need a teaspoon of ground cumin, a teaspoon of chili powder, and you know, there's all kinds of chili powders, whichever is your favorite. A teaspoon of your favorite chili powder, I should say. A half a teaspoon of salt. Two cans, and they're just a little bit over 15 ounces each, of cannelloni beans. And you need to rinse them and drain them. You need two cans of your cannelloni beans, rinse and drain. And then two cans of chicken broth, and they should be about 15 ounces, the can, you know, whatever, about 15-ounce cans of that. And then you're going to need 3 ounces of crusty French bread. And this is optional. You could use any bread that you like, but you want to cut it into 12 quarter-inch slices. And then you need 2 ounces of chunk pepper jack cheese. And you want to take that pepper jack cheese, and you want to shred it. And it should come to about a half a cup. And then if you want to have a little bit of fresh cilantro as garnish on the side, you can do that. Now, this is what you need to do. In a large pot, you put your oil over medium heat into that large pot. Put your sausage in, cook it, and you want to cook it until it's thoroughly browned. That'll take just a few minutes. You want to remove the meat and to the fat that's in the pan. You want to add your onion, your pepper, your carrots, your cumin, your chili powder, salt. Put it all in there, cook it, stirring it up, gathering those little bits of meat off of the bottom of the pan. That'll take you just about 3 minutes. Now, while that's cooking, you want to take your sausage and that's already been prepared. You want to cut it into 1/2-inch slices. Then you want to return it to the pot with all the veggies. And you want to cook it, stirring occasionally until the sausage slices are no longer pink. You want them well cooked. Then you add your beans, your broth, and 2 cups of water. And bring it to a boil. And then you can reduce the heat to medium-low, cook uncovered until the vegetables are tender, and that's going to take just about a half hour. Like I said, if you wanted to do this and have it for your supper, then just put it all in the crock pot and just go. Now, your bread slices, what you want to do with them, you want to put them on a baking sheet, and your oven should be about 350 degrees. You want to sprinkle them with cheese, bake them until they're melted and golden. That'll take about 10 to 12 minutes. And you then put the bread slices on top of the soup when you serve it. Cheese bread is one of my husband's favorites. And what I like to do, little tiny rounds won't do it. Usually I take sourdough. I can get the narrow sourdough loaves, but any real good bread, not white bread per se, but a good wheat bread, anything that has a nice dense texture to it. It makes wonderful cheese bread, and I just put a little bit of butter, not much, just a little bit of butter, and then sprinkle the cheese on top of it and put it under the broiler. And oh, is that so good? That's so good with any kind of a hot soup, whatever. Cheese bread is great. But that's something, this spicy sausage and bean soup is absolutely great. And you know, if you wanted to double the recipe and then, you know, serve half of it, and then the other half can go in the freezer. You've got something that you can pull out when you're in a rush. It's really easy to fix. Just nuke it in the microwave or stick it on the top in a pot on the top of the stove, and you've got a delicious meal. And the spices marry. If you fix this in advance and put it in the refrigerator, the flavors just blend so much better. They really are good. This is a type of a recipe that you fix it and it gets better as it gets older, you might say. A day or two in the refrigerator, it just seems like it gets even more intense with delicious flavor. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756 is the number to call into. If you'd like to give me a buzz, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about not being affected by fraud. I think that there's so much good information that's put out there that you really need to be aware of. So I thought I would share some information about not being duped, about vitamins and some other things. So when we come back, that's what I will share with you. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. David Horowitz is a man I have a great deal of respect for because his business, and it has been this way for years, is educating people about how to avoid getting scammed. And I really think that with the internet, there are so many new ways of scamming people, and wow, it is not a joke, and you really do have to pay attention. Of course, all of you are very savvy about the internet, but I know, having had certain experiences myself, I try to stay alert to whatever I come across in the way of information. And we love the internet. Consumers are just around the world using it, and I really think that this is information that's good. But we do have a caller, so I'm going to go to the caller first, and then I'll share some information with you. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, I'm Rick in Tacoma.
Oh, hi, Rick. Welcome to the show.
First-time caller.
Well, I appreciate you being here.
I had a question.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I was in an accident this year. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it's going to be resolved at any time soon. It's kept me off work for the entire year.
All right. Is this in litigation at this time, or are you dealing with insurance agents?
No, but it could be. Was trying to avoid that, waiting for surgery, and it's just been a mess.
Well, I think that if you are working with your insurance agent, you need to look at what they want the due process to be. If you have a situation where you have been injured and you may need to have some surgery, then I would encourage you to have a good conversation with him, record all of the information that you get, and then ask what recourse you would have, because there is surgery that is going to be needed. This is something that you're going to need to stay on top of, because they have literally thousands of these cases that come in. So see if you can get to know someone that you can talk with on a regular basis with the insurance company, and always be courteous, because you may find that someone will have a real good idea of the best way for you to handle this, especially if there is another insurance company that's involved. And if you get a good claims person, they will be able to assist you. But there's no shortcut to this. This is going to take some time. When did this accident happen again?
April of 2010.
Wow, that's a long time.
I felt that their insurance has frustrated the process.
Well,
for a long
you
time.
Have to deal.
A lot of pain.
You have to deal with the facts, and you need to talk to your insurance company's representative, because many times they will be able to make a communication that's going to be more effective, and that's what you need to do. So try to cultivate an association with a claims representative. And I would say ask what the deadline should be before you go in for litigation, because it looks like you're going to have surgery and you're very concerned about this.
Okay.
But I do think that there is going to be a partial resolution within the cycle of two. So I don't know if that's 2 weeks or 2 months. But it is very important that you have all of the facts together, that you keep your insurance company informed, because often the claims representative that you're working with your insurance company will go to bat for you. So sometimes all this is about is relationships, believe it or not. And dependent on the companies and how much experience your claims agent has can make a great deal of difference.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks.
You're very welcome. I hope that helps.
Yes, it does.
Good, good. And by the way, before you hang up, be sure you look at some options for additional education and training, because there is a career that's waiting for you if you will step into the opportunity for with going on with your education. So I don't know if this is going to be part of a rehab program or what it's going to associate you with. All I know is be open to additional education.
Okay. I did get some feedback from that about that today, which was positive. So
wonderful.
I felt good about that, but the insurance person is not being fair.
mm-hmm. Well, not a matter of being fair. It's just following through and taking care of business.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks for your help.
It's my pleasure. Glad you could be part of the show. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we're almost out of time. There are so many good people, so I have to share the information that David put out regarding scams on various things that are on the Internet that we need to be attuned to. So perhaps tomorrow we'll have opportunity. Now, tomorrow, if you can, tell your friends, we've got a wonderful show about 40,000 penguins that were rescued. This is an amazing, amazing book, and it is an incredible story about how people pulled together to make happen something that could have destroyed entire species of these fabulous birds. So I hope you'll join me tomorrow right here on bbsradio.com, Station 1. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a wonderful day or evening wherever you might be, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Talking penguins. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.